Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio Program. We are broadcasting live from Jennings, Oklahoma, and we are on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 1st, 2015. Folks, with Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need any help with anything after the program, please call me. If you need prayer or you may call me, you can get the machine. Please leave your name, your number, and your prayer request or message. The phone number is, of course, 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682, and in mercy, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry radio archives, our mailing address at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. Our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com and branchpodomatic.com. We're both very smart-friendly, phone-friendly, and at branchpodomatic.com they have Apple app and an app for Android on Google Play. So listen up, please. I challenge you to share this with two or three others. Now a prayer. And we'll get on with the subject for the program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I ask you to bless those who have tuned in today with the light from your heavenly throne room. Please help me to speak with wisdom, truth, and words of hope to the hearers. And may these words be acceptable to you, Father, and bless the hearers with ears to hear. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Well, good afternoon. Grace and peace to you. I'm Steve Henderson, sitting in for Pastor Dan today. Pastor Dan is out on a holy convocation, a holiday, if you will, soaking up the blessings of the fellowship with others who are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. Pastor Dan will be back next week at his regularly scheduled times, and I want to thank him for the privilege and for entrusting me to carry on the program as I try to fill his big pair of shoes. For me, I've been a Bible prophecy enthusiast for around 2.5 decades, and I'm the founder of the Sure Word of Prophecy Ministries. And Sure Word of Prophecy Ministry's mission is to help believers to understand Bible prophecy, prepare them for the return of Yeshua, and to make an unarguable presentation to unbelievers that there is a God who knows the end from the beginning. It's my desire to share the prophetic word with many agnostics, atheists, and scoffers, providing them with enough evidence to turn them to a saving faith in the Messiah, Yeshua. And the message that I have today is entitled, The Coming Great and Fearful Signs. But because of the seriousness of what I want to share with you at the moment, I thought it would be well to start out with a lighthearted conversation between the characters of Holmes and Watson. Holmes and Watson went on a camping trip, and after some excessive amount of liquid refreshment, they had fallen asleep. And in the middle of the night, they woke up, and Holmes looks at Watson, nudges him, and says, Watson, look up and tell me what you see. Watson then replies, I see stars and stars and stars. Holmes asks, what does that tell you, Watson? He then answers, well, astronomically, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, it tells me Saturn is a Leo. Orologically, it tells me it's about 2:45 in the morning. Meteorologically, it tells me that tomorrow will probably be a beautiful day. Theologically, it tells me that this is a vast universe and we are just a tiny part of the greater whole. Watson then asks, Holmes, what does it tell you? And he says, Watson, you idiot, someone has stolen our tent. Oh, you know, you can be very profound on the way that you give answers and miss the bigger picture. This seems to be the case when it comes to giving answers to the questions of Bible prophecy. Some see the stars, but still cannot see the light. Others, they see the forest for the trees because they're hugging one big tree. And in an attempt to interpret the prophetic word, our answers may be very deep, but they may also miss the big picture. And wow, look, we're after 2015, and hallelujah, we made it through 2015 in September. And I know that most of you are aware of many predictions that were made for this last month. In 2015 of September, the fourth blood moon of the Tetrad, the possible rapture, Israel's imminent calamities were associated with Assyria, and an asteroid was going to hit the earth at this time, blowing us all away, a major economic collapse, and a large halite collector did blow a hole in the abyss. Hallelujah. And there are a few other significant predictions that were also converged together at the same time frame. And obviously, a great amount of speculation and surmising has come and gone. However, I'd like to encourage each of you today to stay watchful. At the time we need to be having our eyes wide open, the adversary of souls will come in, especially now, and put a bunch of doubt in your mind as to anything that may be coming from any Bible teacher. Although it didn't come down the way people thought it would, it's on its way. Count on it. Take it to the bank. Stay strong and keep your eyes open. As I made my way through the maze of prophetic predictions that were to fall in the month of September, I found myself somewhat at awe with some of the forecasting in light of Bible prophecy. And honestly, I've been silent on the four blood moon tetrad theory, and for a very good reason, which you'll find out here in a little bit. In the past 30 years, I've tried to stay very objective when a new revelation comes from a prophecy teacher. Now, having said this, I will also admit to you that in the last four lunar eclipses that have fallen on Jewish feast days, that was an eye-opening phenomenon. Nevertheless, it's important to also recognize that the blood moon is a natural phenomenon that takes place when a moon hangs low in the sky just after the moonrise or before it's about to set below the horizon. As I began to do my investigation into this blood moon theory, I looked at the history of the tetrads, and there seemed to be a few occasions to be major and some not so major Jewish events around the vicinity of these lunar eclipses. However, I did find events attached to these eclipses that somewhat were out of sync and the timing was off. For that very reason, I decided to dig. Now, I want to say up front that it's not my intention to throw mud or bring dishonor to anyone who may still believe in the four blood moon theory. And we should all recognize that truth will stand under the scrutiny of close examination. And when secular Bible teaching goes viral and sells millions of books, you need to go underneath the surface and put a microscope on the teaching. I've learned in the past to test the teachings with serious diligence and inspection, especially if that you've never heard of any of this type of teaching before. And I do believe that biblical revelation is progressive, and I'm very open to additional light. But I'm very careful to endorse a view unless it has been thoroughly examined and verified by Bible backup. And the same goes to me. If I share something with you, I expect you to seriously check me out on it. Well, one of my first questions concerning the tetrad blood moon theory was this. If blood moons were to be warnings of something to come, which is my understanding of why the Bible talks about the signs in the sky, why would the tetrads fall on the backside of major Jewish events? Case in point, a group of tetrads that were recorded falling on the Jewish feast days were in 1493 and 1494. Connected to these tetrads in 1493 and 94 was a major Jewish event which they cited as the Spanish Inquisition, and they dated the date 1492. Now, it should be pointed out that the Spanish Inquisition was established in 1478 by Catholic monarchs. Long before 1492, some of the Jews were already under expulsion. And in 1483, Jews were being expelled from all of Andalusia. The Inquisition was originally intended, in part, to ensure the orthodoxy of those who converted to Judaism and Islam. Granted, the regulation of the newly converted was intensified after the royal decree issued in 1492 and 1501. And, by the way, I believe the Jews and Muslims that were in much better shape when they left Spain, considering the enormous persecution that they received in that area. But let's look at it here for a moment. The first eclipse of the Tetrads in 1493 showed up 9 months after the order decreeing that the Jews would leave. And let me ask you, would an eclipse of the moon long after this event that happened prove much of anything? Now, if the four blood moons would have fallen before Holocaust, that would have caught my attention. And one more interesting note to ponder, if the Tetrads were of major significance to something as attached to Israel, wouldn't you think that Israel would at least get to see the blood moons? According to NASA, the last three of the four blood moons that were in this last Tetrad could not even be seen in Israel. I find this quite significant. Do you see where I'm going with this? How about the 1949 and 1950 Tetrads? Okay, there was a lunar eclipse in the spring of 1949, and we all know that on May 14th, 1948, by the hand of Yahweh, the state of Israel was reborn. But here again, an eclipse almost a year after the fact of a major event for Israel? What's the point? And I don't want to spend much more time on the rest of my conclusions on the subject, but I share with you this thing simply to caution the audience that with any theory that begins to set times connected to Yahweh's judgment on the Jews or any other country for that matter, pay very close attention to the details. I can't say enough about this. Read the fine print. If you will, in doing so, you may discover much more that will stir you away from what is being advertised. In a few moments, I will share with you what the Bible says in its context concerning signs that no one will be able to ignore. Yes, friends, there will be a time when we are going to see Yahweh's signs and wonders flesh before the very world. Now, no one will be excluded from these witnesses and these great evidences that indeed will convince everyone on the earth that, yes, there is one who has control of the elements, and the power of the heavens will be shaken. Now, I want to take you through some of the biblical texts that are clear indicators of a specific time and very notable events to transpire which no one will be able to ignore. And it's very important, friends, to recognize that before the day of the great day of the Lord God Almighty, there will be unmistakable signs coming from the skies. Yeshua declared in Luke 21, verse 25 through 26, and by the way, I hope you have your Bibles because I'm going to take you on an old-fashioned Bible study here for the rest of our journey. Now, according to Yeshua, he declared that before he would come back, that there would be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity. The waves and the seas are roaring, and men's hearts will fail them for fear, looking upon the things which are coming upon the face of the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then, in verse 28 and 27, he says, they will see the sign of the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because redemption draws near. And I want to point out to you that in every circumstance, these worldwide signs will bring terror unlike anything we've ever witnessed. And yes, friends, Jewish thought sees these signs as very unmistakable. And Yeshua forewarns us to pay close attention to the very visible signs will precede his return. As one scans the words of our coming Savior, he gives us clear details on the timing of these cataclysmic shakings from the heavens. In another testimony, Matthew records, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 and 30, these profound statements. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then, after the fact, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Hallelujah. So, two of these writers of Scripture tell us that there will be a very perplexing time of distress, a time when men's hearts will fill them for fear, a great tribulation, if you will. Then they will see the unraveling of the heavens very obviously, very visible in the sky. No one will miss it. And it was immediately after the tribulation where the sun, the moon, and the stars are freaking out simultaneously. The whole world will then realize that there is an hour whereby Yahweh will show the scoffing world that there is one who has control over the elements of nature. And then the writer of Revelation also collaborates a snapshot of this very same time as the sixth seal is taking off the scroll. We find this in Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 and 14. Look with me on this as John the Revelator proclaims, "I looked, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, the moon became as blood, and the stars fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll as when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of its place." Friends, this will produce such a frightening moment on the world as the inhabitants of the earth recognize it's too late to change your evil ways. Please note that the moon is turning into blood in this passage. This is where the blood moon is that's significant in my thinking. And here are a couple of points to ponder. Number one, contextually, this is taking place at the sixth seal. Point number two, a great earthquake is apparently simultaneously going on every island and mountain will be rocking and rolling on this particular time. Number three, the sun is going to turn black. Number four, the stars are going to fall out of the sky with a force unlike anything that has ever been witnessed on the face of this earth. Number five, the moon turns to blood. And number six, the whole world will see this blood moon because of the reaction it brings. The prophet adds to this picture a frenzy connected to the shakings of the heaven and the earth during the time of this blood moon. And here it is in verse 15 through 17 of the same chapter, chapter 6. "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and rich men, and the commanders and mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, saying to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the land. For the great day has of wrath come, and who will be able to stand?" Friends, it's very, very clear that this blood moon and the darkening of the sun and the stars falling out of the sky and the great earthquake where every island and mountain moves out of its place is happening at a specific time. According to Luke and according to Matthew, this is taking place at a certain time called a great tribulation period. And it's when the moon will turn to blood and the sun will be darkened. And of course, according to this, the sky is going to unroll and they're going to see something very, very frightening in this. And every person will be able to know that indeed has arrived because this great earthquake is going to rock every island and every mountain will be moved out of its place. And there's not something that we can ignore here. And it will be able to be seen worldwide and not just from a certain place or a certain country. Way back in the prophet Joel's day, he prophesied at the same time and adds some additional insight with some additional information, and I'd like to take you to Joel chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I'm driving home a point here, and hopefully I'll draw a conclusion before it's all over with. The prophet Joel exclaims, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness, a day of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be such after them." And the prophet continues, "Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like swift steeds, so they run. With a noise like chariots over the mountaintops, they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. Before them, people writhe in pain, all faces are drained with color. They run like mighty men, they climb the wall like men of war, every one of them marching in formation, and they do not break ranks. They do not push one another, and every one marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city, they run on the wall, they climb up the houses, they enter the windows like thieves, and the earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, and the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. For the Lord gives his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For the day of the Lord is very great and very terrible. Who can endure it? This sounds like the same picture we saw in the book of Revelation, and the same type of rhetorical question. The day of the Lord is very great and very terrible. Who is going to be enduring it? Apparently, all heck is breaking loose on the earth and on Yahweh's holy mountain, the mountain of Moriah, on the Temple Mount. And by the way, if you've been looking at the news here lately, all heck is, in fact, breaking loose over there, and that's another subject at hand. But alarm will sound, and the war will break out, unlike anything that's ever been seen. A massive army is seeking, wrecking untold havoc, and a very great and terrible day. But I want you to know, this is not the end of the story. Yahweh will be in our midst, and we will be saved out of trouble. Hallelujah. In fact, the Almighty will give us the vision and boldness to stand underneath his almighty shadow. And yes, there is a massive hope for the rest of the story. Well, we're getting at the ready to take a break. Let me share with you my website address with you. It is www.surewordprophecy.org. If you haven't been on my site before, friends, I would encourage you to go take a look. For those who have been on there before, I'm adding additional things on there on a constant basis, along with posting relevant prophetic news, which we should be paying attention to. And I don't do any selling. Send me an email. I'll send you a DVD presentation. And at your request, I'll be happy to help you in any way. My phone number is on there, an email address. Give me a call, and let me know what you need. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
We are back. This is Steve Henderson filling in for Pastor Dan Catlin, and you are listening to Mission Watch Live on American Voice Radio Network. Remember to please pray tonight for a donation to help support Pastor Dan's work with the homeless and poor in his mission church in Wichita, Kansas. He's in his 15th year of working with the homeless, and he needs your help to help others as the Father sends him many needy folks. I can't think of any better way to come alongside the Father and help those whom Pastor Dan is helping on a daily basis. They are the very last hope for so many there in the Kansas area. And remember, we're all responsible to care for one another as we are our brother's keeper. All donations, no matter what size, help, and know that the Father does notice all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online and by mail, check, or money order, and you can find this information at www.coffeehour.com. There on his website, you'll see a donate tab. And if you benefit from the Prophecy Program, this costs money too. So please encourage this brother and his family with an offering today. Well, we're going to get back into our discussion of the great signs that are going to be taking place before the return of the Messiah, signs that cannot be ignored. We have been discussing the blood moon theory, and we're taking a look at the scripture that speaks of this blood moon and of the other signs that are taking place that the whole world will not be able to ignore. We have just looked at a passage there in the book of Joel that talks about a time when it very evidently during this particular time of the signs in the heavens, something's taking place down on the earth. And I feel in the very depths of my heart, because this is the Bible is a Jewish book written by Jewish prophets, that there will be some connection and something taking place over there in Israel that no one is going to be able to ignore. We've just looked at some of the passages that talked about the blowing the alarm in the Holy Mountain. Friends, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but when you want to bring down the trouble that's taking place in the Middle East and look at the controversy that's centered around it, there are a couple things to note. Where Yahweh places his name, that seems to be a place of contention with the Arab world, and we all recognize that. I know Pastor Dan has brought many people on the program that has spoken of the conflict in the Middle East and the Arab Spring and so on and so forth. Well, here recently I see the heat going up on the idea of the issue of Jerusalem. And according to the prophet Joel, when we were speaking about the earthquaking and the heavens trembling and the sun and moon growing dark and the stars diminishing the brightness, the Lord is going to execute a very big camp. And because he is the one who executes his word, and the day of the Lord is very great and terrible, who's going to be able to endure it? And apparently, the blowing the alarm in the Holy Mountain, there's a refocusing, and he's going to bring all the world's attention back to the little place called Israel. We all recognize that. We know the profound prophetic amplifications. We recognize that when this thing comes down, there's going to be a tumultuous time on the earth that's been unlike anything we've ever seen in the history of the world. Could you imagine a time greater than the Holocaust? And when this movement begins to take place, you're going to know it. And connected with the earthly movement, you see things taking place in the heavenlies. And you find that throughout the scriptures, the focus of the prophets will focus on the things that are taking place on the earth, and then the prophet will speak of something that's taking place in the heavenlies. Well, we left off before the break reading about this massive army and the trouble that's going to take place and the rank and files of the armies taking place. The surge is taking place around the area of the Holy Mountain. Now, in Joel chapter 2, verse 27 through 32, we find the prophet continuing, and there is massive hope in the rest of the story. Let's look at it in Joel chapter 2, verse 27, and go onward from there. The prophet declares, "Then you shall know I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame." Hallelujah. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And on my manservants and my maidservants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of Yahweh. It will come to pass that whoever calls on the name of Yahweh and Yeshua shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, and the Lord has said, among the remnant of whom the Lord calls." In the book of Daniel, you find a promise during this time of trouble found in Daniel chapter 12. There's going to be a series of events that take place, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and it commences with a war. And during this war, when this thing comes down, the prophecies declare there's going to start a war, and then while the war is taking place and all these nations are being formed that are going to take control of the earth, there is something taking place up in the heavenlies. And as the little horn speaks down on the earth, when he comes out after all of this turmoil, then you see the focus being shifted up to the heavenlies, and the Ancient of Days coming, and the Son of Man coming to the Ancient of Days, and in this particular time frame, judgment is commenced, and the books are opened. Now, in the book of Revelation, we see that during this particular time, there is going to be seven trumpets that are come out and being prepared to sound. Now, I want you to please note, as we go over there to Revelation chapter 8, that, again, we're going to see signs that no one can ignore. It's not going to be a moon eclipse here. There's more to it than just a blood moon taking place. And at the time of turmoil on the earth, there's going to be simultaneously, the sun's going to freak out, the moon's going to freak out, the stars going to freak out, and yet the promise, it will come to pass in that day, whoever calls on the name of Yeshua will be saved. Yes, friends, there's a lot of hope in all of this. And I want to take you to the trumpet blast, and the trumpets in the book of Revelation are very serious events that are taking place as the judgment commences. And I believe that even during this time, the Lord's hand is still going to be outstretched to save. But I'm wondering if anyone's going to pay attention. In the book of Revelation chapter 8, we see the angels coming out, preparing themselves to sound. And let's look at that in Revelation 8, and verse 6 and onward. The prophet declares, "So the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounds, and hell and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up." First note that when the first angel sounds, hell and fire mingled with blood is going to be thrown to the earth. Now, you can either look at this literally or metaphorically. Irregardless, recognize that the trees are going to be burned up and the green grass is going to be burned up. There's going to be great heat coming out of the sky. And when you go there to the book of Revelation in the seventh chapter, and you see that there are two groups of people that are specifically mentioned after the question is asked in Revelation 6, the great day of the Lord has come, and who will be able to stand, the prophet switches over to two groups of people, the 144,000 that are found in Revelation chapter 7, and then there's another group found in Revelation 7 that comes out of great tribulation, and they have robes on, white robes on, and there are palm branches in their hands. And at the end of that description of these ones who came out of the Great Tribulation, it says that these particular people will be led, the Lamb will lead them to good waters, and the sun will not strike on them anymore, and they will hunger, neither will they thirst anymore. So it indicates to me that there are going to be people that come out of Great Tribulation during this time, but even though they came out, that are going to be led by the Lamb and be fed in the green pastures. And apparently, during this time, the sun is beaten on them with great heat. According to this particular verse in chapter 6 of verse 8, chapter 8 and verse 6, the first trumpet sounds, and it's going to be great heat that's going to burn up a third of the trees, and green grass is going to be burned up also. Then the second angel sounds, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And notice that during this time, a third of the sea becomes as blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea dies, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen the projection or have seen the picture of an asteroid, but apparently John sees this thing that looks like a great mountain. That comes out of the sky and burning with fire, and it's thrown into the sea, and it's going to create a great havoc in the waters and a third of the ships are going to be destroyed. I've been looking at asteroids for quite a long time, and, you know, there are a lot of them out there just encircling the orbits. And I know that at a certain time, y'all will be able to deflect one of those rocks, and they're going to come down, and it's going to hit this planet, and it's going to create a tremendous turmoil. And make no mistake, when this stuff happens, it's going to be a worldwide event. It's not going to be something that's just going to be seen over in a certain part of North America or in Latin America. So it's going to affect the whole world. And then the prophet declares, the third angel sounds, and a great star fell from heaven, like a burning torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of the waters, and the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Apparently, when the third star falls from heaven, and it would be like a torch, I think it's something that's going to be very, very visible, and it falls on the third of the rivers and on the springs of waters, and apparently the water is going to become very, very bitter. And, you know, without water, mankind doesn't last very long. And if there were ever a time that you need to be stocking up on water, friends, it's right now. Because if you're looking at the droughts that are taking place across the planet, it's very evident that we're heading into a great water crisis. And then left of the rest of the water is left, which there are only 2% of the water that's potable today that is able to drink out of all the water on the earth, even though we're surrounded by oceans. You can't drink salt water, and it's very, very costly to desalinate that water. And yet, during this time, the water is going to be poured out, and well, and in the beginning of it, some of the waters are going to be mingled with the blood, and in the third trumpet, they're going to be made bitter. And then the fourth angel sounds, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. Here again, we find that there is signs, great signs and wonders that are taking place. And if you're an atheist, you're going to see, your heart's going to drop out underneath you. And in fact, Luke said that your heart is going to fail you for fear, looking upon the things that are taking place upon the planet Earth, for the powers of the heavens are shaken. And by the way, friends, this is a shaking of the heavens, and the powers of the heavens are being shaken during this time. And John is explaining and articulating this here in his vision. And he looked, and he saw an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpets of the three angels who are yet to sound." Brothers and sisters, there is a day when we will arrive at our ultimate destiny. Whether it be in this generation or the next, we will have to wait and see. But we will not be caught off guard, and we will have to be straining at the signs. They will be so evident and so profound that people will be freaking out on the earth. And when this great sixth seal is unloosed, and that moon turns to blood, and the sun is darkened, and the stars fall out of the sky like just beyond anything we've ever seen, the scroll will unroll in the heavens, and on the earth a great earthquake, and every mountain and island will move out of its place. And then you will know that the word of Yahweh will be true. And there is one who's going to take control of the evidence. And he, by the wrath of his anger, he's going to shake the heavens and the earth. And friends, hopefully before this happens, you will be prepared. We will not be caught off guard, friends. The believers who live in these times, spoken of by the holy prophets, will have much to see, much to endure, much sorrow, and hanging onto the blessed hope that our Savior's promise for dear life. Yeshua gave his life that we can have eternal life, and he gives us all of this to see and be forewarned about before the time of the end. Friends, there is hope in the prophecies. There is hope in the personal prophecy that we find throughout the Scriptures. The Bible declares in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Yeshua died for our sins. Yes, friends, the prophecy of John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, one of the most popular prophecies in Scripture, says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For Yahweh did not send his Son in the world to condemn it, but the world through him would be saved. Yes, friends, the Bible declares, Yeshua says, if you hear the words of mine and believe in him who sent me, you have eternal life and will not come into judgment, but will pass from death to life. If you confess your sins, John says, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Yes, in all of this that we're looking at, in these closing periods of Earth's history, there is light that shines from the throne room of mercy and grace to you today. I am wholeheartedly confident that the things that are spoken of by the prophets are going to come to pass exactly like they say they're going to happen. As we look at the prophecies that have happened in the past, the coming of the Messiah in the first day, when the Bible declared that 700 years before Yeshua showed up on earth, the place of Bethlehem was mentioned. The Hebrew word Bethlehem means house of bread. And later on, 700 years later, just exactly the way it said, Yeshua showed up in the house of bread and later on proclaimed himself to be the bread of life and proclaimed that if you eat of this bread, you will never hunger. He himself proclaimed himself to be the light of the world. And friends, I don't know if I've shared much of my testimony with you before, but I came out of a great darkness. And as prophecy began to illuminate my mind and heart, I began to move myself out of the dark world. And one day, I challenged Yeshua to show me whether he existed or not. And here I am today, proclaiming his holy word. I know that it was Bible prophecy that that proclaimed to me that the book is reliable. And light came out of this word. And it's like a light that shines in a dark place and shines more and more into the perfect day. And as we, here in 2015, have passed September 2015, still unscathed, watch out. Look up and lift up your head, for your redemption is drawing near. I wholeheartedly believe that as we see the things that are taking place upon our planet, and whatever you do, don't miss this next program in Pastor Dan's Prophecy Hour. I'll be on there again to tell you a little bit about what is going to take place through these efforts that have happened here just in the last 2 weeks with the Pope coming to America and the things that are taking place at the United Nations as we speak. Oh, my. Russia has just moved into Syria. I believe that is so profound because in the book of Daniel, you find four beasts coming up at a time of great turmoil, and one is a bear. I think the bear is moving, and it's now planted itself in the Middle East, right north of Israel. And my goodness, something is coming down. Iran and Syria, as we speak, are joining forces together. And don't forget, Iran has told Israel, we are going to annihilate you and move you out of the occupied territory, and they do have plans to do it. They're still speaking about it, even after the deal. Now, the United States is real concerned about what their place is now in all of this. And now immigrants are sweeping Europe that are coming out in multitudes. And as they hit the ground in these European nations, they are already attacking Christians and trying to enforce Sharia law on people. There is something going on a lot larger than what we can understand, but we recognize the prophets do say that at this time of turmoil and a time of great trouble, there will be people who are wise, who will shine as the brightness of the firmament. And these people that have understanding will give a message, a last great hope message, that one day Jesus will come back and gather his people together, that where he is, we can be also. There is a promise of his return. Count on it. Take it to the bank and cash it in, friends. Because as we see these very events taking place, he is standing at the door and knocking at your heart. He says, if any man hear my voice as I knock and open up the door, I'm going to come in and I'm going to have a relationship. If there were ever a time that we need to quit playing with the Almighty, it's at this moment. Far too many Christians are playing church, and they feel that they're okay when they go to church and walk into a building once a week. It's time to get out of a religion, friends. Get rid of sin in our life and get into a relationship. Confess our sins and know that when we do, He has cleansed us, because we're going to need the confidence as we enter into this arena that we're entering in now. And I mean to tell you, it is really coming together. And what I find is interesting, it's coming very, very rapidly. I think the final movements are becoming so quick, and I can't keep up in the prophetic news to keep that on my website. I've seen in the last couple of years I've been doing this website and keeping up with the news, I can't keep up with it anymore. There's just so much of it to put on there. And it seems to me like we're getting busier and busier in life, when we ought to stop, stand still, and look with very attentive ears and eyes to see, because there are so many things that are converging together as we usher ourselves into this new arena of conflict, and it is taking place quickly. Benjamin Netanyahu just spoke before the United Nations. I didn't get a chance to see a whole bunch of it, but he is very, very disturbed at the world body, as the world body is over there right now, clasping hands together on common ground, and we'll talk about that in the next program. Friends, please, if you have ever heard anything at all, hear this. Yeshua is coming. Whether you recognize it or not, and I know that some people may have been a little bit let down with the predictions of September 2015, but listen, it's on its way. Wait for it. Trust and wait, because it will come to pass, surely as it has been written. Well, friends, we're closing out this program, and please remember to pray about supporting our mission church and always be a blessing to others. I want to admonish you to think about an offering for Pastor Dan's program here. I feel it's a very important program, and he's one of the ones that are blowing the trumpet and alerting others to take heed. And watch and pray, friends, that your heart is not weighed down by the cares of this life and by the deceitfulness of riches and the pursuit of the almighty dollar, that this day comes upon you unaware. If the good man had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken up. So watch, therefore, and pray always that you'll be counted to worthy to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. We must remember, friends, that there's only one God, and that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave his life for our repentant sins, and after 3 days rose and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, rose from the dead, and through him is the only way to the Father. Friends, he's coming back soon, and remember to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. One more thought to ponder. Pray for the peace of your Jerusalem. And praying for that city is praying for the Messiah's return. So let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now let's pray. Lord our God, Father Yahweh, King of the universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father Yahweh blesses and keeps you, that his face shines upon you, is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Steve Henderson in for Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.